Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Morning.
Good morning.
Russell Westbrook going to the Rockets. Chris Paul going to the Cavs.
Another deal. Another deal in the NBA. It seems like every deal ends up spawning three more deals. And this is the offseason that's just going to continue right up until basically the NBA Finals of next year.
Oh, great.
It is incredible how many big names have traded places.
We got good parity, though. James Harden and Russell Westbrook together again. I don't know how many, they can only have one basketball. Do you subscribe to that, or is there going to be a problem? Like, because how long does it take now? How much Russell Westbrook has a little bit left on his contract, obviously. James Harden has a little bit left on his contract, correct? Correct, correct, correct. Right, right. Correct, correct.
No, I mean, Russell Westbrook has three seasons left.
So you have time to work it out, don't you?
He's owed $45 million in 3 years.
But the problem with guys moving around, especially because Durant left him and then because Paul George left him, it's like, well, you got a year to work this out. And if it's not worked out in a year, someone's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NBA is kind of proving that they'll give things a run for about a year, and a year's an eternity the NBA is.
Well, really, if you're the Rockets, can you trade him? Because last night, Adrian Wojnarowski broke a report that there's a slew of first-round picks moving back and forth into 2026, 7 years from now. But Russell Westbrook has been traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets have traded them Chris Paul, which probably they'll try to spin out of that deal. More than likely, I would expect Chris Paul to probably be a Laker by the time this is all said and done. But your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Chris Paul because I don't know that he helps the Lakers. I don't know how many teams in the league he helps at this
stage.
Well,
it's a true point guard.
Yeah, and he's not nearly at the level that he was even 4 years ago, 2 years ago, and he's also injury prone.
He's
got the big contract.
That's true. That's all that is true. But he's also LeBron's guy, and what LeBron wants, LeBron gets, including trade for Chris Paul a couple years ago.
Do we know that LeBron wants him right now? I mean, does LeBron want to win, or does he want to play with his friends?
I think this year, both.
I think this year is all about winning.
I think he wants to do both. I think that if he believes in Chris Paul. And I think he wants to play with Chris Paul. I think it's different.
I don't know how anybody could believe in Chris Paul at this stage.
I don't, but I think LeBron is a different type of guy. LeBron has had faith in guys before that we've all kind of went, huh? Like, you remember the whole impetus of the Miami thing starting to spin out of control was Mike Miller. Mike Miller was a fine player, but really everything over Mike Miller? We're really going to do this over Mike Miller, huh? Which I was fine to take the profit from it.
But. Yeah, but every year now is even we thought every year was critical when LeBron was here in Cleveland. Now every year is exponentially more critical because he never knows when that torn Achilles tendon like Kobe Bryant's going to happen. He never knows when it's just going to be shut down forever, and then his legacy's done. That's it. Because you know he's still trying to add to his legacy. We had debated that last year. No,
well,
he
right.
was just waiting another year to try to get another superstar, and he did. And now they've got another loaded team. And this is it. Like, if they don't win the title this year, he'll be 4 years removed from his last title. And now we're done even talking about LeBron as the best player on a title team. Now we're talking about him as the second best player.
Yeah.
And it's going to drop off precipitously. Eventually, he's just going to be a role player.
He is running out of time. I bring up Chris Paul can help out in some fashion. It's not like he's completely fallen apart and that's it. He is injury prone. But just a year ago, we are just a year removed from... Well, gosh, if he would have been healthier, they'd have beaten the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Like, we're a year removed from that. So, again, the injuries, that's always been true. But the age, if you can keep him healthy, which is an if, have him play point guard, I think LeBron would be open to such matters. But I know Oklahoma City's probably not going to be open to such matters. It seems like a complete retooling there. And now Russell Westbrook said he ends up with the Houston Rockets. Should we have been involved in this to close the chapter on this?
Well,
should,
the only way the Cavs have been involved? If we're talking about the Cavs being like a third team
or
in a trade.
Or just in a trade for Russell Westbrook.
No, I don't think that makes any sense for them. Now, we would have had a lot more excitement this next year and maybe next year.
Yeah.
But that contract would have been a total liability. You never would have been able to move off it. And it would come at the expense of being able to develop, you know, whichever young player you still had. You'd have to give away either Colin Sexton or Garland probably in that trade is my guess. Nobody really knows for sure. But here to me is the story. And this pretty much, until Chris Paul, you know, depending on what happens, if he ends up getting moved or whatever. This to me is the story. As we are sitting here on July 12th, of the 16 players who played in last year's NBA All-Star Game, half of them have switched teams this offseason. Okay, here are the names. And this is just absurd. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving. These are the biggest names in the game. Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Kemba Walker, Paul George, D'Angelo Russell, who had a great year last year, and Jimmy Butler. That is extraordinary. And look, I think the NBA can have a season like this, an offseason like this, once every like 5 years. But if this becomes the norm every other year, or dare I say every year, I think that is that's a bridge too far for the NBA. I think that would really, and you know me, I'm always in a corner of the NBA. I root for the NBA. This year is going to be so exciting. There's going to be more parity in the NBA. Everybody says, "Where's the parity?" I mean, you just had the Toronto Raptors win the title, and this year, can you tell me who's going to win the title?
No.
Can you narrow it down to 3, 4, no. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11
no.
teams?
No, I think it's the
12,
problem is, though,
12 teams.
But I do think the problem is, though, and what Adam Silver's talking about, is when you have a guy who signs a 3-year deal with the Clippers, because he'll be 30 at the end of that deal, 30 just going on 31 at the end of that deal, so you think that there's going to be another deal probably struck with another team. And so already,
Kawhi Leonard might want out after next year.
Well, that's
who knows.
But I think that's what he's talking about. That's the problem is that you have guys who force their way out, and it does hurt that team fan base. Like when I told you yesterday during the show that when I look at four houses that have Steph Curry stuff in it for the kids' room, it's alarming to me because I don't think you're going to see that with the Browns, and I don't think you're going to see that with the Indians. Like I think for the most part. And especially now with the Browns hopefully being contenders here, you're going to find Brown stuff. Kid's a Browns fan. Baker Mayfield fan. Here's the Browns fan. I think most kids, I think 90% of people, and certainly probably more in a lot of ways, the Indians, it's very regional. Baseball is very regional. A lot of people here, if their dad's from here, they're Indians fans. Basketball, it is up for grabs.
But is
you
that,
are a fan of the player
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, but is that... I've really tried to think of this, and I've asked a bunch of people this over the last week, because you're right. That's the trend. Although, as I said, you know, when I was young, we had all the posters of all the players in MLB and basketball, but I get your point. Not so much football. Football was always, you know, your team, and it's kind of still is that way, even though guys draft these players on fantasy. But I've talked to a ton of my friends over the last week. I don't know that what you just said, I don't know if Silver's against that. I think
he says he's against. So you think he's lying, or at least giving lip service.
I think he loves the fact that Steph Curry has fans in Cleveland, Ohio. That LeBron James has fans all over the globe. That there are fans of James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
But I think there's a difference here where you had Ken Griffey Jr. fans here in Cleveland because people like Ken Griffey Jr. Mm-hmm. Kids like Ken Griffey Jr. But they were Indians fans. So you can like players. But if I have a person I have a kid who's a Steph Curry fan, but he's not interested in the Cavs, that's going to be a non-fit. Because I told you, if dad isn't interested, it's going to be hard to get the kid involved. And if the kid's certainly not interested, boy, it's going to be hard to get that kid involved.
No, you're right.
So if you're talking about
a
traveling show,
locally is right, but there's still what I think you're missing is they're still fans of the NBA, and that means still dollars being spent on the NBA.
I'm not missing that. They're spending dollars on the NBA. They're spending dollars on those things, but they're not protecting the entities of the city to which they play in. And that can be a scary scenario. Because, again, I told you yesterday that there are plenty of owners. And hopefully it continues to go that way. And then I can officially be wrong about it. Well, not wrong about it, but I can officially see it in that way. And then they end up winning. If owners continue to build their own arenas, that's perfectly fine. But if I have an owner who has his hand out over here about building an arena, and I have a bunch of people in Sacramento who are really not big Kings fans, but they're fans of other teams, even though they have a new place already, then you have yourself a problem. If Phoenix gets to the point where you want to build a new place, but the team has sucked for 20 years and they're trying to build a team around Devin Booker, of all people, well, then I think you got a bit of a problem there.
But you're always, in every sport, going to have a problem in a handful of markets because of bad ownership or bad organizations. I think the thought, it's still, and it's going to be really tough for fans in Cleveland, of all places, who have been relevant for 11 out of 15 years, and you can even argue more because Kyrie was still a big-time superstar, and you had him in those dark years. I think no one's going to feel bad for Cleveland, who just went to four NBA Finals. Like, there is always kind of a revolving door of teams at the top, and how many years did we go with the Lakers, the Knicks, the Heat and the Bulls? Those are some of the biggest or most glitziest, sexy markets, were all bad. So, okay, now the Clippers, by the way, and that is L.A., but the Clippers, let's not act like the Clippers have been some cherished organization over the years. So
no.
I think there is.
It's still in Los Angeles.
I do think players are going to go to, they're going to want to go to those big markets, but I still think, look, Milwaukee is good. Portland is good. Utah is good.
Right.
So I think we're just bitching because we're in Cleveland and we're bad right now. But if we draft somebody good, then the Cavs will be instant relevant, and that's the key to the NBA. But that if you draft one superstar, which teams have a chance every year to do, you're right back in the mix because one player changes everything.
And you are right. But you also have the fear that's going to happen of that player possibly leaving. And I told you, that scenario has already started a year ago in Milwaukee. And if that guy leaves, and God, I hope he doesn't, but if that guy leaves, it's just going to perpetuate a stereotype, which might not be fully true, because you're knocking down those spinning dinner plates left and right. And that's just going to, but that's still going to perpetuate a stereotype where you can't trust these guys, you can't trust them for money, they're just going to go to wherever they want to go, and that's going to be the end of it. And even when they do sign contracts, we're just seeing it left and right. I still want out, trade me, I got to get out of here, I'm not going to play for you. So that's something that I think, when we talk about player empowerment, you got to be careful about that player empowerment, because you still want to have guys playing for your team and you still want to have a chance to win. Now, I'm looking at this from a different scenario, and I don't want you accusing me of this because I understand it's going to be a long build. You had LeBron. You paid everything off to get LeBron. You went into hawk for LeBron, and now LeBron's gone. We're only 2 years going into year two removed from this. Trust me, I'm going to be a little bit more patient than that. But it does worry me, again, Anthony, when I go into an open house, and I'm not going to say the town, and it's Kyrie Irving stuff in Boston. Well, guess what? Dear old dad's got to roll down the posters and put up new paint because Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. What about the Cavs?
I think they'll.
Like, that's my fear.
I agree. Everything you just said makes total sense, and it is a worry that I have. I don't like I started out this entire segment saying the NBA can't have this every 2 years. It's been a fun offseason. The offseason still is not technically over. And then before you know it, all these new players on new teams, nationally televised games, what are they going to look like in the jerseys? How long is it going to take for them to fit in on all these different teams? And then there's going to be excitement. There will be brand excitement for the NBA. And the Cavs, the excitement is very different. It is, how good is Garland? How good are these young guys? Can any of these guys take that step to maybe become a superstar? Can Colin Sexton be this dynamo two guard that continues that trajectory where he was hitting threes and all of that, and then all of a sudden, it changes it. I do think that in those towns, it's up to those teams and those ownership groups and those organizations to be competent. Because if you look around the NBA, there is a lot of competent GMs in mid-markets, and there is legitimate excitement in those markets.
You know,
even though, yes, in Milwaukee, there might be some fans grumbling, oh, could he leave?
That's a really good point.
Could he leave?
Yeah, but that's a really good point. Because you could say, well, if this isn't going to change, that's going to force ownerships to be better. It's going to force organizations to be better. Because you look at it in the NFL, hey, with the exception of the Hugh Jackson era, people still showed up and they were bad. And there were people who get very angry about that.
Well, some of them showed
it
up.
It doesn't teach. You understand. But I said with the exception of that, when it
they
started.
They showed up, but how long they stayed.
When they started. But when they started to really not show up, that was the first time when they were bad that people started going, you know what, I'm just done.
Yeah.
That was the first time. It took a good 16 years for that to happen. So there is that, at least I keep you honest, thing about the NBA that could possibly happen out of that. That's right. I'm a little bit sad. I wanted to talk about aliens. We can't talk about aliens. We argued about the NBA.
We can't talk about aliens?
What do you want to talk about?
Folks, if you're signing a petition on Facebook to go to Area 51, you are the exact sheep that Big Brother loves. There is a petition right now on Facebook. Someone started a thing, said, we want to see them aliens. And so,
well, it's about time.
The idea is,
I'm sick of seeing them in movies. It's time to see them in real life.
The idea is, if you sign the petition and you rush Area 51 with 400,000 regular citizens, they can't stop you all, and someone's going to see aliens.
They can stop you.
What? They can stop you.
They can't stop you.
Now, will they?
I've seen plenty of militia videos.
Oh, yeah,
they
yeah.
will stop you, sirs.
Now, if what's happening if 400? How many? 400,000.
400,000.
If 400,000 people are rushing to Area 51, is that going to be while 400,000 other people are rushing the other way and
Area
coming up
52?
From
52?
Oh yeah. A lot of people rushing all over the place.
No, that's not even the point.
That's all we're doing is dancing around in Russian places.
It's 100,000 on each side.
Folks, the point of it is, we got to get back into it. Because, again, it's how long has Area 51 been open? 60 years, 70 years?
When was their grand opening?
When was
Roswell?
Yeah.
In the 50s.
Was that like 52 or something like that?
When did Harrison Ford get out of the refrigerator?
Do you people really believe that the aliens are still at Area 51? You are just sheep eating out of their hands. Led to the slaughter!
They're at least into Area 55 by now.
At least!
55? There's got to be 3,300. No, there's 1.3 million areas.
They're working at the Dave's on East 55th. They're not over at Area 51. You sheep! You morons! Have we learned nothing from George Orwell? Getting back to that. Also, David Griffin, probably, because he's getting pretty weird. And Danny Salazar looked good in Akron yesterday. It's a part of About Last Night, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.